I started to look at all this in a different way, and I got the Bible out. I looked at the book of Revelation, where it talks of the 144,000. And on the last page of the book of Revelation, the last page in the Bible, the second to the last paragraph, Jesus says, I am the bright and morning star. Jesus says, I am Venus. Now I thought, that's extraordinary. Why would Jesus, in the Bible, tell us he was Venus? And then, if you read on another paragraph, it says, never change a word in the book of Revelation. Not one word, not one sentence, not one comma, not one full stop. You must never do that. So I went back to the expression again. I, Jesus, am the bright and morning star. The bright star is Venus in the morning. So the bright star is Venus in the dark evening sky. And the morning star is clearly when Venus is on the opposite side of the sun. And it appears as a morning star. As I started to decode more and more Mayan artifacts, the stories became more and more bizarre and interesting and fascinating. Once I'd broken the code of the Amazing Lid of Palenque, I used the same techniques on Maya paintings, Maya jewelry, and Maya architecture, and each time I could access information which had never been accessed before. And, for example, one of the Mayan paintings from a temple in the jungle at Bonampak, which is about 150 miles southwest of Palenque, it says that Lord Peikau was known as Venus. He was born amongst animals with horns, that he grew up, and he died on a cross made of two pieces of wood.
How strange.
Now, I thought, this is quite extraordinary, because it says when Lord Peikau died, he became Venus, which is like Jesus. Jesus was born in a stable surrounded by cattle with horns.
That's right.
And the picture started to fill out and become clearer and clearer. But I thought, I just don't understand it. I couldn't make the connection. My intellectual processing wouldn't allow the connection, because after all, the Maya existed in 750 AD and Jesus existed 750 years earlier. I then started to decode the mosaic mask, which was a mask across Lord Peikau's face, and I found more pictures. It said he came to the throne at the age of 9. It showed him wearing a feathered hat, like Tutankhamun in Egypt. And it showed him as a feathered snake. His people regarded Lord Peikau as the eagle in the sky and the snake on the ground. Now, at first, quite innocently, I thought, well, I guess the eagle represents the spirit soaring in the sky, and the snake must represent the body which reincarnates on Earth or sheds its skin. But there was much more to it, and I was missing the point. Then I thought, hang on a minute, Tutankhamun was known to his people as the feathered snake. He carried the vulture and the snake in his forehead. And then I started to get more and more information, so I went down to the Valley of the Kings in Egypt, and I went to Tutankhamun's tomb. And on the wall, there's a painting of Tutankhamun shaking hands with Nut, goddess of the night sky. And then, in an animated picture next to him, as though it's in the next frame, the next time frame, we see Tutankhamun as twins, two people, shaking hands with Osiris. He's the god of resurrection that lives in the constellation of Orion in the sky. So what this tells us was that when Tutankhamun died, he became the twins, the twin planet Venus, the morning star and the evening star.
And are we talking about the same thing, that Tutankhamun also might have been Lord Peikau?
There's no question about it. Once I started decoding the treasures of Tutankhamun, Tutankhamun means the son of God.
Sure.
And look at Lord Peikau. Pascal means Easter.
Yeah, but all these civilizations, Bruce, were at different time periods, weren't they?
Of course they were. So, thousands of years between them.
So here's a question then. Were we talking about one event, the event that we know about, and that all these other civilizations somehow heard about it and encoded it, or did this event occur for each civilization with the same person?
I put the evidence together. I put it all over my house on the floor because there was so much of it. There was just so many pages of it printed out from the computer. And I scratched my head month after month. And it was all the same information from the Egyptians, from the Mayas, from the Peruvians, from the Chinese. The same story in the same detail. There was no stone unturned. And I thought, it can't be. It can't be the same guy. If you go to the Valley of the Kings, the bones of Tut are in the tomb. If you go to Lord Peikau's tomb, his bones are in the tomb. If you go to Peru, the Viracochas, the guys who produced miracles in Peru in ancient times, the bones are in the tomb. So these were different living beings. So if they were different living beings, the only explanation, therefore, must be, given the detail of the information, which was so prevalent and common to each civilization, is that it had to be the reincarnation of the spiritual energy of the same guy in a different body at different moments in the history of the planet. And once I got that round my head, I then began to think, well, okay, this guy's telling us he keeps coming back. Perhaps we can keep coming back. Is that why they kept encoding this information into their artifacts? And then the more I learned about the Egyptians, for example, how they preserved their internal organs in canopic jars, but they didn't preserve the heart and the brain, I started to look at these exceptions to this reincarnation rule. In the simple sense, it would appear that you mummified a body so that if you came back, you could reuse it. But it didn't make sense. How could you reuse a body with no heart and no brain? So I thought, this is telling us something. What are they trying to communicate? They're trying to communicate in a way which transcends time barriers. They're trying to communicate. I already knew that they communicated with pictures and numbers, not language. You don't use language to set down information. Because, for example, if you reincarnated in a different country and you spoke a different language, you would never be able to understand the information you left behind the first time you were here. So you've got to use a mechanism of encoding information, which will carry over globally. And so what they did was, they knew a picture would be worth 1,000 words, and the picture is seen by everybody in the same way. So Jesus taught in parables so that disbelievers would not see the hidden picture. Lord Peikau taught in pictures with his hidden Maya transformers, these pictures that transform into hundreds of pictures once you break the code.